when a darkened past uncaps its lid and fear takes on its shape, it's nightfall. Welcome, dear friends. Frederick Hend, your fellow analyst on tonight's grim excursion into the craggy corners of the mind. You know, comfort and security are things many of us took for granted as children. But what of the uprooted child, the youngster who doesn't belong, who doesn't feel safe? What might such a child do to even the odds? In tonight's story, semi-detached by Sean Selway, fear becomes a tangible reality. Listen.
When I'm asked what a psychiatrist actually does, I often say, we look for the beginnings of things in order to help the patient start over. The Littlewood case began with a long-awaited phone call.
Damn. How many times does she have to be told? Sarah?
Hi, honey. She's playing outside, I think. What's wrong?
She left her damn bike in the driveway again. So, what's the word?
Nothing yet. The lab said the doctor would call.
Well, hell, it's 4:30 now. Did they say today?
Yes.
Great.
Oh, Tom called from Children's Aid. He's coming by tomorrow afternoon.
Good. So if you are pregnant, he can start making the arrangements to get Sarah back with her mother.
Ray, if Sarah wants to stay with us, I'd like to keep her.
I can't see that.
But Ray,
You know how hard you took that miscarriage.
She's a lot more settled now, Ray. Besides, I'm not going to be lying on a couch or something all day.
Nicole,
I know.
Don't say no, okay? Until I finish asking.
Sarah.
Please, can I go roller skating with Tanya? I'll do the dishes.
Later, okay?
Go back out and play for a few minutes, okay?
But I have to tell Tanya.
Go on.
Cut it out, Sarah. Hello? This is she? It is? Yes. Thank you very much. It's positive.
All right.
Positive. Oh. Hugging, kissing. I see Ray Nicole. I see Ray Nicole.
The consequences of that phone call began to unfold the following day. Tom McDermott from Children's Aid arrived to pay the family a visit.
I'll get it.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hi. It's Mr. McDermott.
Oh, hello, Tom. Come on in.
Uh-huh.
How are you?
Tom.
Good to see you.
You're sending me back, aren't you?
Now, don't get upset, honey.
Sarah, you know you're going to be here for just 6 months.
Yeah, but it's not even 6 months yet.
It's just that with the baby coming, we won't have time to look after you properly.
There's a problem. The thing is, we've lost touch with Sarah's mother.
What?
Well, apparently she's left her apartment, and we can't locate her.
Where am I going to be then?
Ray, Sarah can't be just bounced from place to place.
Okay. I have to think about it for a minute.
Would you like a coffee, Tom?
Thank you.
Okay, I'll put on the kettle then.
You stay put. I'll get the kettle.
I have to tell you, it may take a little time to place her elsewhere. We've lost 13 foster homes since January.
Oh, no.
What happened?
I just burned my hand on a frying pan, moving it out of the way.
Who left the element on?
Look, they're all on.
Well, I never left the stove on.
No one thinks you did, honey. I can't turn it off.
Don't tell me the stove is gone.
Well, look, I'd better run down and pull the breaker.
No, you won't. I don't want you coming back up those stairs in the dark.
Oh, for God's sake, Ray, I'm not an invalid.
Starting to feel it now.
It's a serious burn. We better get you to emergency.
Did that do anything?
Yeah, that's done it. Great. Let's go see if we can total the car on the way to the hospital just to complete my day.
I hadn't seen Tom McDermott since he quit nursing. And I'd always kept my interest in the paranormal pretty much to myself. But he remembered a discussion we'd once had. In the 2 weeks since the incident with the stove, a number of strange events had convinced him he had a poltergeist on his hands. He believed it had something to do with Sarah. I agreed to see the Littlewoods to make a preliminary evaluation. Nothing more.
Dr. Gray?
Hmm?
Mrs. Littlewood is here.
Oh, thanks, Joanne. Please send her in. Hello. Bob Gray. Please come in.
Thank you.
Didn't your husband come with you?
He wanted to, but he was off a few days last week, and he didn't want to lose any more time.
Oh, I see. Well, why don't you tell me about these occurrences?
Okay. It's just little oddities.
Mm-hmm.
The radio will turn itself on full blast. Or the TV. Or the phone rings, and when you pick it up, it keeps on ringing.
Yes.
It's a defrosted the refrigerator once. That was a good one. There was water all over the place.
Tell me, why do you say little oddities?
Well, because it's nothing that fancy, just that I'll get stuck.
But do you think it's right that these things should happen to you?
Right? I don't understand.
Well, it must be an ordeal for you, on top of everything else.
Well, no. How do you mean everything else? I don't feel persecuted, if that's what you mean.
Well, how do you feel about it all?
Well, just nervous mostly, but sometimes it's almost comical. Bothers my husband more. He thinks it has something to do with Sarah somehow.
Your foster child?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, I don't believe it for a moment.
It was when she lied so poorly about Sarah that I began to believe the rest of her story. What do you do when, for example, the radio starts playing by itself?
We pull the plug.
And?
Well, nothing. It stops.
Does this happen when Sarah is in the room?
She's usually around the house, yes.
We talked for an hour. By the end, I was convinced. What Nicole described to me that day was the classic poltergeist syndrome. Bizarre pranks centered around a young girl with a history of emotional disorder. Later, much too late, I reread my notes again and again, searching for the clue I'd failed to hear, the point I'd failed to query. But as I listened to Nicole that afternoon, it fell into place all too clearly. When Nicole became pregnant, Sarah was naturally resentful of the unborn child. She was somehow able to release bursts of psychic energy which played the part of a rival to the unborn child, making mischief around the house, attracting precious attention. In all likelihood, Sarah was completely unconscious of her role in these occurrences. The case clearly required specialized treatment, and the next day, I advised Tom to refer the Littlewoods to the Porter Institute for Parapsychological Research in Michigan. I was totally unprepared for his response.
No, you can't do that.
I beg your pardon.
Do you think I'm going to let her become the subject of some 10-year study? If she winds up shuffling between a lab and a dormitory, Okay, I'm sorry. Look, I need one person. One house and one person she can attach herself to. No teams of researchers or batteries of...
Tom, I appreciate your concern.
But if she had uncontrollable fits of temper, you'd have no hesitation at all about treating her.
Don't pressure me, Tom.
Look, I'm asking you. 2 weeks. If nothing works out, I'll accept whatever you recommend.
Tell me something. How long have you been doing this, Tom?
3 years.
Have you ever thought of going back to nursing?
Oh, once in a while, not often. I started to lose my distance, so I made a move.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little more detached these days.
Oh, yes, I can see that.
Well, semi-detached. Come on, Bob. 2 weeks.
All right. It's probably a mistake, but I'll try.
Thanks. That's great. Thank you.
Why did I agree? Perhaps he really had persuaded me. Or perhaps I only wanted the opportunity to test my hypothesis, and my reluctance was sham from the start. You have actually seen some of these manifestations yourself?
Oh, I've seen them all. In fact, I think I'm the trigger.
Oh?
See, my theory is that whenever I show up, the kid feels extremely threatened. Like, I'm the one who's going to take her away, right?
Yes.
Now, something ticks over in her head and the appliances go haywire.
Possibly.
Something occurred to me. If the events are some kind of signal, say, why not see if it will deliver that signal in normal speech? Find out what it wants.
No, absolutely not.
But, Bob...
Add a voice to these phenomena. You'll give them a higher form of organization. And I suspect you'll have completed the division of Sarah into two distinct personalities, one of which doesn't even share the same body with her. Nothing could be worse than to precipitate this kind of split.
Okay. When do you start?
Tuesday at 3.
Okay, I'll see you then.
You will?
I'll be driving, didn't I tell you?
No.
Well, Ray wants nothing to do with you. He thinks all shrinks are quacks.
Huh. Well, that's awkward. Without the cooperation of both parents, I'm not sure...
Holy smokes. 1:30 already. I've got to run. After you've banished this poltergeist, maybe you could work on another problem for me?
Oh, what's that?
Find out what Nicole could possibly see in that guy.
An odd remark. I opened my mouth to tell him so, but he was gone. It crossed my mind that his involvement had become far too personal. But then I turned my thoughts to the more immediate problem. Perhaps if Nicole had been a little less stubbornly protective of Sarah, I wouldn't have pushed so hard. But I was curious. I decided to provoke a demonstration from Sarah.
Now, Nicole, I'd like to talk to you about the baby first,
yes?
Privately.
Well,
Sarah, wait here with Mr. McDermott, please.
Do I have to?
Don't argue, please.
Excuse me, but
say the Tom, will you? I'd like to get started. Oh, Joanne, that article I wanted Xeroxed.
I'll just finish this. You want it now?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Look, why don't you have lunch while you're at it? I'll answer the phone.
Oh, thanks.
Come on in, Nicole.
I didn't like the way you spoke to her, and I really don't think it's a good idea to exclude her like this.
I'm sorry about that, but I have a reason for it. Can you bear with me?
Well, I don't know if I can...
Beautiful. It's working.
What?
Listen, that's not Joanne typing. You're right. It's not at all a good idea to exclude her.
Pull the plug.
I'm trying.
There.
It's that thing again. Now it's following us around.
Sarah, why don't you come in now?
I don't want to talk to you.
All right. But if you change your mind, you just come in, okay?
Nicole, can we go now? I'm a bit scared.
We'll be right here if anything else happens, honey.
She'll be all right now. She's let off some steam. Nicole, I think you'll have to admit it's Sarah.
I don't care if it is. It's not her fault.
No, of course not. Let's talk about what I think is happening. I was delighted. With a single stroke, I'd cut through the main obstacle. But I should have remembered that every faculty grows stronger with use, and that I was not the only one who wanted to go quickly.
Sarah, what a face.
Leave me alone. I know you think it's me.
We're just trying...
Leave me alone, I said. What's that noise?
Shh. Listen.
Where's it coming from?
It's that picture.
I'm going to get Nicole.
No, wait a second. I wonder if it can tap with a beat. Now, let's try. Just once, okay?
Well, you start.
Okay. How about like this? Like a horse.
It's coming from the air.
I wonder if we could get it to talk. Huh? How about just saying hello, huh? Let's do it together. Ready? Hello. 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 Hello.
Nicole, listen. Talk to Nicole. See? Me and Tom learned how to talk.
No.
Oh, God.
Tom, I could wring your bloody neck.
Sarah, cut it out right now or I'll shake you silly.
You little...
No!
Stood there, gaping at the network of cracks in the glass. First, with a kind of simple wonder.
Oh, Christ. Broke it.
What a miserable thing.
Then, the trickle of fear. That web of black cracks was the signature of a new being. I would have to account for this.
God?
Don't know.
Dear God.
I sent Nicole and Sarah home with my promise to break the news to Ray myself tonight. Then I turned to Tom McDermott. Completely destroyed my hopes of keeping the symptoms within bounds.
At least we've got something we can deal with now.
You're damned right we do. We've got two distinct egos that don't even know they belong to each other.
Look, Bob.
All right. You are going to stay out of it. Don't go near that house again. I'm going to call Swick at Children's Aid, and the three of us are going to sit down tomorrow and make a few decisions.
Good enough.
I'd expected him to put up more of a fight about it. Instead, he gave me a grin that was positively mischievous, as though he'd hidden the chalk or deflated the principal's tires. I should have wondered what that meant, but I was too busy being relieved. At least he would be out of harm's way, and mine. Or so I thought.
Ray's home. Sit down. I got a notice from the post office today.
Hi, honey. Oh, hello, Tom.
Hey.
Sarah, turn that down. Tom's staying for supper.
Uh-huh. Anyone else for a beer? Tom, you look like you need something.
I'll have one.
Oh, what?
Sarah. Oh, for Christ's sake. Nicole, this bridge is frozen solid. Look at this beer. It's a goddamn possum.
Great, take it easy. Dr. Gray thinks he can help us.
Us? Look, as far as I'm concerned right now, it's not our problem. It's Sarah's problem, and she's the Children's AIDS problem, not ours, okay?
Your point is made.
Oh, what?
That never happened yet.
Sarah, get a damp cloth before it sinks in.
Oh.
Do as you're asked. Where's that coming from? Look, okay, that's enough. Knock it off, Sarah.
I'm not doing it.
You're not, eh? Well, let's hear voices with my hand over your mouth like this.
No, please.
Let go of her. Sit down, Tom. Well, I don't hear anything.
He hurt me.
Tom, if you don't move this kid, I'm going to the higher-ups. And if that doesn't work...
Stop it.
Jesus.
Stop it this instant.
Jesus. Have you found the kid's mother yet?
Right, come on. Sarah, run upstairs, please.
What if it's up there?
Well, then you call me. Go on now. Ray, whatever it is, it's just a little kid. You can't be afraid of it.
Oh, Christ, Nicole, wake up. We can't deal with this. She's some kind of schizo. I'm going to call the CAS and end this.
Ray, wait. Just give Dr. Gray a chance. A few more hours.
Nicole, you're such a fish. Okay. But it's against my better judgment. Boy, is it ever.
Want that coffee warmed up?
Sure, thanks. Glasses were...
The third shelf down. I should save some for Ray when he finishes the lawn. He's not really like this, you know.
Oh?
Well, I only hope that Sarah doesn't give up on fathers altogether.
Oh, a child can get by on surprisingly little. Voice of experience talking. I was a foster child myself.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. At first, my aunt took me, but she tried to cure me of swearing by putting my tongue on the stove element.
My God.
She was also fond of putting me in the closet for a day at a time. So they pulled me out of that family and shifted me around for a few years.
Tom! Tom! Come look at my bike.
5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, 5 minutes.
Go ask Ray if he wants another coffee.
All right. 5 minutes is up, you know.
Not quite, Sarah.
Ray? Oh, is it broke?
No. I'm just cleaning the guck off the blades.
I just came to ask
you... I'm busy, Sarah.
Oh, damn it, wait a minute. Hey, Sarah, get the plug! My shoe's cut!
Nicole!
Let me see your foot. Ray, let me see your foot. Call an ambulance.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to tie this around your leg.
Afternoon on the telephone.
By 7:30, I had talked to everyone, except Swick at Children's Aid. She wasn't at her office or at home. Venturi and Lerner at the Porter Institute suggested several strategies, and I'd begun to feel a little less helpless. Then, Swick returned my call. And what she told me knocked me back in my chair. Before I'd had time to piece together the implications of what I'd learned, Nicole finally got through.
Yes?
Dr. Gray, I've been trying and trying
Nicole, what is it?
Ray was cutting the grass.
Yes?
And the lawnmower switched itself on and pulled his foot in. Tom is trying to...
Tom? Tom is there?
Well, yes, he was waiting for you. Is there something wrong?
I'll be right there. 15 minutes.
I suppose I panicked. My one thought was to get over there before... I didn't know what anymore.
Ray? Ray, are you awake? How are you feeling?
Sore.
I bring you up the TV, but we're keeping the power off in case. Tom's been on the phone trying to find a place for Sarah, but it is after 8 o'clock.
Give me the phone book, will you?
He is doing his best.
Relax. I'm just calling Crocker to tell him I won't be in tomorrow. Why don't you go down and get Mr. Screw-Up to come and help me on the stairs?
I can help you down the stairs.
Nicole, for the last time, you're going to lose that baby if you don't watch it.
I'll get Tom.
Hmm.
Hello,
Mrs. Swick?
Yes, speaking.
I'm sorry to bother you at home, but this is Ray Littlewood.
Oh, Mr. Littlewood, I'm terribly sorry. You must feel we've abandoned you. Mr. Reinhold has been trying...
Who?
Mr. Reinhold? He'll be taking over from Mr. McDermott. I'm afraid Mr. McDermott left behind a good deal of paperwork which simply...
Excuse me, left behind?
I know that sounds terribly bureaucratic, as if we put that...
No, it's not that. It's just that... I didn't realize...
But Sarah's mother will have completed her manpower course next week, and we think she'll be...
In here. Sorry, did you say Sarah's mother what?
Will finish her course and should be able to manage...
Okay, Larry, like I say, it'll be a week anyway. Sure. No, thanks again, Harry.
You sure you want to move around on that foot, Ray?
Yeah, I'm sure. Just give me your shoulder and I'll be fine.
Easy does it.
I don't know why you won't stay lying down, Ray.
Hey, here's the chair.
I'll just lean here for a minute.
Oh, Ray.
Tom, look, how about whipping down and putting in the breaker? I could use a coffee.
Okay. Kind of dark down here.
Ray, what are you doing?
Making sure your phony friend stays put while we call the cops.
Hello? The door closed.
No, Ray, this is really stupid.
I just called Schwick. He doesn't even work for them anymore.
Ray, will we open the door, please? Ray, let me out.
No way, Tom. Call the police.
No, I will not.
Can't be in the door. Ray!
I can do it myself.
Open the door. Ray! Nicole!
He's going crazy in there.
The frying pan, the scissors, anything.
Hello?
Dr. Gray?
Gray, in the kitchen.
Look, get away from the window.
No. Oh.
He tried to lock me in the basement.
Give me the scissors, Ray.
It was him. It was him all along.
Give me the scissors, Ray.
No, you don't. What did you do that for?
Let him go. Says a man. Big house like this, and you won't even hit one poor kid. You know what he belongs? On 6B room psychotics.
Now, at last, I understood. He had said he was the trigger. He was much more than that, though he never knew it. Nor would he ever know now.
Tom? I'm going to my room now.
My God, Nicole, I'm sorry.
Tom, nobody's going to punish you. I just want to talk to you.
No. You're never coming down. If you come up, I'll run and I'll jump out the window, and then you'll be sorry.
Tommy, you're tired out. Why don't you lie down and have a nap for a while?
All right. But don't you come up here.
I won't. Promise.
Night, Nicole.
Night, Tom.
Just keep your eyes on him while I get to the phone.
Yes,
this is an emergency. Could we have an ambulance and police to Charles and Henderson? There'll be someone out front. Nicole, hey.
Make it stop.
What about me? What's going to happen to me now?
Sarah stayed. Ray has been making it up to her. The Toms are in Michigan, or one of them is. The voice has not been heard from for several months, and Dr. Venturi's last communication was quite hopeful. In his view, Tom's core personality went to sleep when he was 12 as a result of his aunt's abuse. When the adult Tom wanted to replace Ray as Nicole's husband, the sleeping Tom wanted to replace Sarah as Nicole's child. The conflict was so strong that his personality was annihilated in the struggle. Enclosed with Venturi's letter was one of Tom's drawings intended to be Nicole. My first impression was that the handling of the crayons was very crude. Then I realized that I was judging it in comparison with the work of a normal 12-year-old. As usual, I was taking the wrong perspective.
Sometimes bottling up your problems can put a bit too much pressure on the container. Here's who was involved in tonight's production.
Semi-Detached was written by Sean Selway and starred David Calderisi as Dr. Gray, Mary Peary as Nicole, and David Stein as Tom and the voice of the poltergeist. Also heard were Peter McNeil as Ray and Andrea Schwartz as Sarah. Technical operation was by Derek Stubbs, and sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Production assistant, Nina Callahan. Semi-Detached was produced and directed in Toronto by William Lane. Executive producer for the series, Don Kowalchuk. And now, your host.
So, we'll be back again next week for A Glaze of Perfect Beauty by Stephen Fraygood. Until then, this is Frederick Hemd for Nightfall.